usually ripening of a problem, it's really a natural outcome of a lot of successful people in organizations, especially in the business world, because they tend to be generally fix-it people. They think in terms of fixing issues. Something comes to them, their brain turns to fixing it. Their brain does not automatically switch to, does it need to be fixed? So someone walks in the office or the hallway, whatever, to the boss or a colleague and talks about the problem on the manufacturing line or with a customer or whatever, and the brain of the high-performance individual turns to fix and immediately goes down that pathway. If it's a super emergency, like there's a fire in the building, we have to all get out, that's perfectly appropriate. No problem. But a lot of times, form a new reaction is what I recommend. A pause. The trigger is the person coming to you with the problem. Form a new habit, a new reaction to the trigger. Pause. Do a quick evaluation. Ask the question, first of all, is this problem ready to be solved by anybody? Number one. And then the secondary question will be, by me. Is this right for me to solve it, or should I delegate it to someone else? And I call the first part of that the ripening of a problem. Is this problem ripe? The analogy I use is, if I handed you a peach and you felt it and it was hard as a rock, you wouldn't eat it. You wouldn't even bother. You don't need to put your teeth in it to figure out that it's not ripe yet. If it's way too soft, you might also pause thinking it could well be rotten. It's way past ripe enough. But if it felt just right, you dive in and you're ready for a good experience if you like peaches. Problem can be unripe and it later will become ripe in time. Some problems never get ripe. Some problems get fixed without you doing anything, and you save all that time. So there's lots of different scenarios if you will pause first and determine, is this really ready? So are there indicators? Are there symptoms? Are there clues to whether a problem is ready yet? Yes, there are. First of all, the very key first step is to ask questions about the problem that the person just brought you or the group just brought to you. Ask questions. Because, first of all, they may not have asked all those questions, and there might be a lot of information they need to explore before it's even worthy of addressing your using your time further or using their time further. And so asking questions about, when did you learn of this? What are the implications of this? Ask people, and this really engages them, ask people, what would you propose that we do about it? Have you talked to others about that proposal? You did? If they did, what do they propose? That you didn't ask them what they propose? How about you ask them what? So a lot of those kinds of questions that get the person who brought it to you or the team that brought it to you, it gets them exploring it further. A lot of organizations, and it's sort of a compliment that gets you in trouble. A lot of organizations are run by leaders, managers, who people have high regard for. They respect them. They think of them as really good and really effective. Well, that's a huge compliment. But at the same time, what that can result in is that people think, well, I'll go to John, whoever the boss is. He'll know what to do. And they've got such confidence that they don't even dig into the problem by themselves first. And the fact is, they've learned that over time. And so you've sort of trained the organization to come to the fix-it person. To that first step of asking questions and probing, seeing what they think, seeing have they investigated, people will start to form the habit. Very short period of time. This isn't years. But after several of those approaches on your part as manager, people will start to form the habit when they hear about a problem or they observe a problem. As they start to think of coming to you, they'll think, well, she's just going to ask me this and this and this and this because that's what she's done the last four times. And that will help people probe the fruit on their own before they even bring it to you. There are other kinds of problems besides the ones that just are, hey, they would be fixed if people just dug into them further on their own. Another category of problem that is not yet ripe are problems that are of a nature that they need broad ownership before you're going to come up with an effective solution. These are beyond the category of the faucet's broken on a piece of equipment, or the hydraulic is broken. That's a fixable thing. You just have to diagnose it and go fix it. These are things, for example, there may be a problem in the culture. Maybe there's a problem with I'll just pick one example. There might be a problem of how people are handling conflict during team meetings. And it's not being handled constructively. It's either being ignored or avoided. It's not being dealt with. Just to bring up a significant nuance problem in the culture of the company. That's not going to be fixed with a 5-minute piece of work. But it's also the kind of thing that is probably not going to be readily fixed until people really own it. The level of intensity gets big enough that the organization wants to give it attention. People are, after all, very busy. And the simple fact is, problems have to prioritize themselves to get their time and their attention and their effort. And if a problem has not become big enough yet for the whole organization or a good part of the organization to care about it, if it's a nuanced problem like culture, attitude, those kinds of things, all the work in the world that some effective person does on it, it's going to be like pushing the Titanic, a giant ship. It's just not going to get you anywhere. You're like a drop in the ocean. So in those cases, communicating it, discussing it, giving voice to it, talking about it, etc., is going to gradually move the organization toward a point where they're ready to actually do something about it. So those are the ones that need broader ownership before they're ready. There is another category that I see actually more often than people would think of, and that is they really don't have to be fixed at all. And that gets kind of a shocking, what? I mean, all problems need to be fixed. No, they actually don't. They actually don't. The world is not perfect. It's not in equilibrium. It's never going to be perfect. And there are going to be issues. There are going to be problems that remain and then go away. Or they remain, but they're not big enough to deserve the attention. You just aren't going to fix everything. No matter how many people you have, no matter how much staff you have, you're not going to be able to fix everything. And so some things are just going to remain. An old house is going to have issues And you could throw boatloads of money at fixing every single thing the instant that it went bad. And my guess is you'd still have things that were short of perfect in that big old house. So accepting a certain level of, okay, that's a problem. I get it. I don't think it's worthy of being fixed. It's just not big enough. It's not significant enough. And you could miss a 2 pound problem that's going to become an 8,000 pound gorilla while you're paying attention to a 2 pound problem that's not going to become an 8,000 pound gorilla. There's a final category that I will address. Sometimes you don't even know what you're waiting for. Sometimes there are outside forces, government regulations, something a customer's going to do or a consumer's going to do, that lo and behold is going to make a difference in how you solve that problem or in whether you need to solve it. There are events while you're evaluating the problem. Time is not always the enemy. There are often events that will help mitigate the problem, soften the problem, solve it. It gets solved some other way that you never anticipated. There are also problems that with time, and this surprises me continuously throughout my life, and I see it with clients and I see it in my personal life. There are problems that actually end up creating benefit. So something breaks, and the first reaction is the organization to come unglued. This will happen often with, just using analogies, electronics, computers, technology that we get dependent upon. The computer goes down, and I can't do task X anymore on that computer. So I figure out another way to do it. And while I'm doing it, I say to myself, well, this is really time-consuming this way. This is stupid. And then I say to myself, the fact is, this is not worth doing by pencil. Is this worth doing on the computer? And you conclude, no. Why are you doing it? Because it's been really easy and really fast to do. That doesn't make it a good thing to be using your time on. And so, out of the adversity of the computer going down, lo and behold, you learn, I didn't need to do that anyway. It's a mini example of adversity leading to growth, which is a much broader topic, but it's the same thing with a lot of problems. So there probably are a lot of people listening that are thinking, oh, so I get the big picture. I'm really excited about it. But what specifically can I start doing tomorrow differently? What's a first step that I can take? And what I would say is that the easiest next first thing you can start doing immediately, like after you stop listening to this recording, is when the trigger happens, that's the stimulus, the issue, the person coming to you, or you read the email or whatever, change your response to the trigger to asking questions. If you just start with that, you set up a little rule to yourself. When I first see a problem, I know my brain wants to respond, fix it. Since I know that response is something I want to relearn, change, I'm going to change to a different response to that trigger. Like, I'm going to ask two questions. And then I'll go fix it. Let yourself be yourself. But in that two questions, you're going to start having an aha experience that your fix-it mode will calm down a bit and your ears will pick up a little bit and start taking over and listening. So good luck with this. Good luck with the tools. Good luck with trying to change your response to the triggers. And if I can be any help, send me an email. Let's schedule a time.